Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today on WIPR, and you can reach us 410-662-8780 or send us an email. And here's what we want to know. So I've been interviewing people for jobs for 2.5 decades, maybe more than, a little more than that. Actually, yeah, that's embarrassing. Yeah, so 3 decades.
Well, that's, I was going to say, let's put yes.
So, and one of the questions I always ask, because it's around the restaurant business, as it always has been, are you a good cook?
Okay.
And then they'll say yes or no, or like,
and then
now,
waiter
but then
candidates
friends of yours
start freaking out,
right? And
okay,
But I mean, I think it's worth asking anybody for any position. Like, it has to do with, are you familiar with food? Do you get your hands on food? You know?
Sure, sure. It's important.
And then the question that I like to ask is, so if the Queen of England is coming to your house, like you have a friend bringing the Queen of England to your house, and now she would be older than she was 30 years ago when I was asking the question, but or insert important figure here in your imagination. What dish would you make? What is the very best dish that you cook? So that's what we want to know from listeners. We want to know what is the very best dish that you cook? And we're probably not looking for a 10-minute recipe, but if you can give us a good idea, maybe the origin of the dish, maybe what you used it for, maybe you know, why it was important to you. Was it a dish that was handed down from someone? Is this something your mother taught you and that you completely blew up and remade? Did it come from watching cooking television? Did it come from a trip that you took and trying to recreate something? Did it come from eating one of Cindy's dishes and deciding, I can do better than that? you know, so you can reach us, 410-662-8780, and we want you to show off a little bit. Or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org, if you want to be wordy.
Okay.
And so... Wow. How about you? What is the very best dish that you cook?
Oh, I don't. That's
It's an awful question.
Yeah,
for a chef,
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that I think is a show-off dish. I don't know if it, you know. It's I cook a lot of different things, so and have over the years, obviously doing a daily menu. But one of the things that I do to show off a little bit, or not show off. That's probably the wrong way of putting it, but. To do something special that I think maybe someone else wouldn't do would be to do a terrine au foie gras. Something like that, you know, it takes, it's a skill dish because you have to have the temperature at the right, the oven temperature at the right temperature. You have to cook it exactly the right amount, length of time. You have to press down the terrine. You have to know how to do that. Then you have to add back in the fat top layer once it cools down. So that's a technical dish, and I think it is often served in France like around Christmas time or around a holiday. So I think of it as a special dish. Now let's talk about something that's not so expensive. Something that I would make that would be less expensive is probably, you know, a braised dish or even something like I made, last night I made lamb sausages and served it well. Okay, so what was in there?
So how did you make the sausage?
Yeah, the ground lamb, and it was from Elysian Fields lambs, which is really some of the best lamb produced
really
in the United
clean
States.
Clean and good flavor.
Yeah, and I mean for ground lamb, man, you couldn't get. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I tasted it, how just delicious this lamb was. And so that's, you know, I don't know what it is in the grocery, but for us, it's you know $3.50, you know $4.50 a pound, something like that when it's ground like that. So. And it could be less expensive from lesser quality, still good, but lesser quality lamb. And I added for each pound of meat, because I did a 5-pound piece, obviously, one whole egg per pound of meat. And then I do a couple tablespoons of panko or Japanese breadcrumbs per pound of meat and then season. And you really, you know, if you like salt, you're going to need a decent amount of salt. I just kept having to add salt to that last night when I made it. I was surprised that I just felt like I'd really salted it. And when I tested one of the batches, I'm just like, still need salt. I also add saffron to it, which you don't have to do because that is expensive. But if you have it and you like it, use it. chili powder and a little bit of cayenne pepper, Tabasco, salt and black pepper, and just a little bit of Madras curry, which, oh gosh, I love Madras curry. We use a lot of mild curry produced by a company called Van Spices, and the Madras curry is not produced by them, and it's a very different curry mix and leans more towards cinnamon and almost sweeter tones. And I really like it with the lamb. Lamb and curry is obviously really great together. So, and then you want to really work the meat. Once I've mixed everything together in the bowl, then I put it out on my cutting board and sort of use the heel of my hand almost like you would with bread making by hand. And you want the meat to come together. And then I formed it into patties and we grilled it. And because I didn't really want to go into putting it into a casing, I didn't think that was necessary. So, and that's a lot easier for you at home as well. So just form it into a patty with, you know, nice flat sides, flat top, flat bottom, grill it. Gosh, if you had a wood grill, that would be really special. If not, you can even saute it or over a gas grill. And then I made a celeriac salad. I was reading, Jean-Georges just came out with a book, it talks about how he became a chef, basically. It talks about, I just started reading it. I strongly suggest it, actually. Talks about his family history. And what I think is absolutely fascinating, and I know I'm going off track, is that his mom used to cook for 40 people at lunch and 20 people at dinner, or around those numbers, every day, because they had so many people living in their household where he was growing up. He grew up in Alsace. And grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles, they all lived in the same place. And they had a coal mine, I guess. And they were feeding their workers as well. So that lady, every day, at the exact same time, fed lunch and dinner, all those
once
people.
Once you're cooking, right?
Ooh, wow. I mean, yeah, but I can't imagine doing that every day in a home. But anyway, so I got the idea for doing a celeriac salad from his book. It just kind of reminded me how much I love celeriac. And we, you know, celeriac is one of those root vegetables that has a lot of roots on the outside of it, literally. So you really have to clean it up. It's pretty dirty. So wash it as well as you can.
Yeah,
in
it looks
sink.
Like a dirty sea creature.
Yeah, they're a little rough, but they're delicious. Just really expect to lose some of it. So you might want to buy an extra one when you're making it, or a couple extra ones, because you're going to lose probably maybe 10-20% of the product when you go to peel it off or cut it off with a knife. And then I julienned it. And you want to make, if you're going to make celeriac salad, you want to make it ahead because it does better as it sits in the refrigerator. I did mayonnaise, whole grain mustard, a little bit of fresh lemon juice, salt and pepper. I just kept it simple and let it sit. And that was underneath the sausage. And oh my gosh, that with a little bit of ají, which is a Colombian relish that has jalapeno, cilantro, green onion, lime juice, has no fat in it. A little bit of that, a little arugula on top. And then, you know, that was just a great combination of flavors. And it was so much fun. So that's something that I've never made that before. That was something I made for the first time yesterday, that complete dish. And I would definitely make that at home. That's cost effective. You know, you could feed a bunch of people that way. You can make them ahead and just pop them in the oven or on the grill, whatever. So, you know, those are things that stands out in my mind because it was really, really satisfying, that dish. So that kind of runs the gamut there. How about you,
yeah,
Johnny?
It's going to remind listeners, you can reach us. Give us a call. What is your very best dish? Tell us about your very best dish. 410-662-8780, or send an email, foremanwolf@wypr.org. I mean, for me, you know, that making complex things is very nice. If it's entertainment and it's very honest, it's something very simple, you know, like the perfect ingredients for a bruschetta, like it's raining like crazy today.
Mm-hmm.
There will be mushrooms in the coming days.
Yay.
Because of that.
That's right. True.
Like, can I go find some chicken of the woods and clean them up,
mm-hmm,
and roast them just so, with a little bit of maybe fresh thyme and with a little bit of garlic? Can I just make a perfect bruschetta?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
mm-hmm,
that like
yummy.
Exactly the right baguette or, you know, big pugliese type loaf or
rustic
something.
Bread.
To do that.
You know, either grilled. You like to grill yours with a little olive oil.
I do, yeah.
I like to saute mine with butter.
Yeah, I know. That's a basic oil and butter divide.
I like them both very, very much.
But I mean, that it's funny. The first thing that jumps to my mind is not a fancy something, but it's, I mean, the tomato sauce we just made this summer for home is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That some of the tomatoes are just unbelievable. And we made it three different variations.
That's fun.
Nice to have with different shapes and to use in different ways.
Good.
And so that immediately I think of, you know, I would love when really good swordfish comes, when the weather keeps getting a little bit cooler now, can I take a nice fillet and poach it basically in the really great tomato sauce, you know, and cool it in it, and then flake it, and then make a bruschetta with that.
Mm.
You know, that kind of thing, very simple. I mean, you lay out plates of something special, cared for, maybe not fancy feeling, and exactly the right glass of something for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For that, maybe it's a verdicchio from Bucci or something like that.
Well, in the end, you've made your point, which is some of the very, very best cooking is the simplest. You know,
it's always ingredient driven.
Yeah, it is ingredient driven, and knowing how to work with those ingredients and putting the right combination of things together, and you can make something very spectacular out of something
great ingredient,
very simple.
A lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's all about ingredients and execution.
For it.
Yeah, and that too, of course. Yeah, that's the thing too. You know, I feel like in a way in our culture we're getting away from maybe using beautiful china, or even just having a couple of pieces of beautiful china, or maybe having a couple of pieces of silver or crystal, or
beautiful,
or just
always
beautiful,
doesn't always
glassware.
Mean decorated, you know?
Yeah, but or a couple of pieces of nice linen. I mean, I think all those things about the table also just really, 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 and candles. You know, again, you can find things like that at secondhand shops or consignment shops, and I do it all the time because I love all those things. So do you. And, you know, I mean, there's ways to get things like that where it doesn't have to break your bank, and it just makes your table so special. And that whole visual, you know, people say they eat with their eyes. Well, part of that visual presentation is what your table looks like. Yes.
Let's go to Jerry in Baltimore.
Hey, Jerry. How are you today?
Hi there. So wonderful to be able to talk with you. First, I wanted to say that I do use my good china and linens and crystal on my patio.
Oh, fun.
That's great.
With candles.
Good.
So.
Love it.
There's nothing like a beautiful tablecloth outside.
Yay,
you know,
Jerry.
Like
I agree. I love it. So I'm actually not calling with my best dish because I've been wanting your advice and haven't been able to get to you on a dish that I'm trying to perfect.
Okay.
I spent a week, actually 2 weeks in Italy in May, but 1 week we stayed in La Mole in Chianti.
Yeah.
And we had an amazing wine-paired lunch at the Verrazano Estate. It was incredible. I don't know if you're aware of that estate, but it was an amazing lunch.
And beautiful place.
Yes. And they did, one of the courses was grilled ribs. Now, I'm sure they were using wild boar, and I can't get that or haven't been able to get that. But I actually, because I have a gas grill, I actually went out and bought a small grill that I could use just for this purpose so that I could do a wood fire.
Good.
I think I got the spices right. The flavor has been good, but it's smoky. My ribs taste smoky, and I don't remember those ribs having a really smoky taste. What would you suggest on how to get this right?
I mean, what is the seasoning exactly?
So I did just some olive oil, salt, pepper, and some sage and rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're not enjoying the smoke flavor? Then take it off.
Correct.
Take it off that wood grill and put it on a gas grill.
I guess the other thing is, with the wood grill, what kind of wood are you using, and how low do you have that fire?
Well, I think the first time was just what I picked up. The wood was probably hickory or something like that. But now I've gotten some. I think it's apple wood.
Okay. Yeah. You know, first of all,
I assume they did it on a wood grill.
Maybe they didn't.
Probably pretty good bet it was charcoal.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah. If you can get good charcoal, and the part of the thing about grilling something without it having like a big smoky flavor or all kinds of, you know, like burnt we want caramelization on the outside, but you don't want it to be burnt on the outside or be,
right.
You know, like that having reasonable distance from the fire, having a good sized fire for the amount of food that you have on there.
Right.
It's just like anytime you cook in a pan, like the pan's got to be big enough to transmit the heat, you know, completely.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
it's much more controllable that way. If you build a good sized fire, you can change the level of your grill grates typically,
okay.
You know, so that you're not right on top of it. But that may make a difference in how well that works for
great.
You.
And the seasoning?
I think you're on with your seasoning.
Fine.
That sounds good. There's not, you know, you're on the right track with that. I think also the other thing about grilling is just make sure you don't have flare-ups as well.
Mm-hmm.
That when the flame flares up, it tends to make the food taste like kerosene. So you really want to watch how much it flames. And Tony was, you know, pretty well telling you to have a nice sort of, you know, good embers,
gentle white,
gentle flat, yeah,
white. You know, charcoal fire.
Especially with something like a pork rib that's going to be a little bit longer cook time, and you are going to develop caramelization because of the longer cook time,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to have to cook it all the way through for a pork rib, probably.
Right.
So lower fire, definitely don't let it flame up. And I think you're on the right track with the seasoning. Don't waste olive oil. Don't waste a good extra virgin olive oil on that.
Yeah.
Use
corn
oil.
Or something. Or
yeah,
corn, canola,
something
okay.
like, yeah, don't waste it on that. We always use extra virgin olive oil almost always as a finishing product.
I can guarantee you that in Italy, the oil they would have used would have been an olive oil that's what we would call a pumice oil, where it's not that first press. It's just light stuff that's been filtered and is meant to be able to handle the higher heat. And doesn't have a strong olive flavor.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm thinking the grill was too small for that kind of fire. I need to do something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jerry. Thank
sure.
you for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we're going to take a little quick break. You can reach us 410-662-8780. We want to know all about the best thing that you cook. Send us an email if you like, formalwolf@wypr.org. I've got some listener emails to get to as soon as I get back on WYPR.
You're listening to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine here on your public radio, WYPR.
Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today on WYPR. We are asking you, what is the best dish that you make?
Mm-hmm.
Queen of England's coming to your house. What are you going to cook?
That would be fun.
Yeah. My guess is she's older now. Her appetite may not be giant.
So if you could cook for any famous person, who would you pick, Tony?
Ooh, that whole like have a dinner party with famous people, tough one.
I love that.
Cooking though. For them and sitting with them,
well,
it's a different cast of characters.
You get to
cooking
be with
for
them.
Okay. Or sitting with them and drinking as well.
Mm.
You know, because those would be different people, frankly, you know.
Uh-huh.
The people that I want to impress and the people that I want to hang with
yep.
may be somewhat different people.
Okay, all right. No, just keep it to yourself.
Just
then.
Saying. I'm going to try. So you can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us formanwolf@wypr.org. And we have a listener email here from Zan and Gordon, a two-part email that I will make brief. The usual pairing question we hear is, please recommend a wine to go with this dish. We're asking the opposite. One, thank you for asking the question in the proper order. I have this that I want to drink. What am I going to eat that's going to make me happiest?
Mm.
We recently acquired 4 bottles of Chardonnay at a high quality level, that even nicer than we'd normally buy for home consumption. We'd like your recommendation for dishes appropriate for those wines. like dishes you would serve at a top quality restaurant. We intend to prepare those dishes at home. We're fairly competent at cooking and aren't intimidated by recipes with either lots of steps or long ingredient lists. And they mentioned three different West Coast Chardonnays from 2017 that are like big, opulent, oaky.
Fun. Good for them.
Chardonnays, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you something spicy is not going to take the things that won't work off the list. Okay. Something spicy is not going to work. Some bloody meat is not going to work.
Right.
Fish tartare or something like that doesn't make sense. You're looking at something that's probably 14.5% alcohol, big bodied, lots of think about the vanilla flavor of the oak is important in pairing with dishes. Because that's a big flavor vector. It's super weird with some things. Those dishes will do surprisingly well with pork as long as it's not a sweet preparation. If it's meat that you're after, we'll do well with chicken, but again, watch the spicy with that. The things that are first on my list would be probably largely shellfish.
Yeah, I was thinking crab.
Crab, shrimp. Crab probably a little delicate for okay. those guys, as big-bodied and as alcoholic
okay.
as they are.
Okay.
But lobster, like a lobster and corn cake would be fantastic. I mean, the two natural mm-hmm. things for big American Chardonnays are, flavor-wise, the slam dunks are lobster and corn. Mm. So why not put them together?
Sure.
You know, or do... you know, do a lobster dish with a simple, nice succotash, because you still have corn and beans, you know, in the markets that are local, that are in really good shape, good quality. So why not go for that? But that's the stuff that jumps right out to me.
Good.
There's good cauliflower out there, too, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Scallops and cauliflower are awfully nice. Scallops, cauliflower, brown butter.
Well, and those fingerling potatoes you brought me, oh my gosh, those are so good. And they're yeah. so pretty. They have a little bit of a pink tone
they've
to them.
And, they've come and they've gone.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. Okay, they're good though.
So anyway, that's thanks for the question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to, oh, no, we've got MV. MV is saying poulet marengo is his favorite recipe. Also, he's been cooking in a fireplace 40 years
wow.
and recommends raking the coals out onto the hearth evenly to avoid smoky flavor or even cooking.
Very good.
So, yeah, I mean, essentially what we're saying with, like, control that fire, control those embers.
Years. Yes.
That sounds tough on your back.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I remember when he called.
Yeah, I think that's the gentleman.
I want to go visit him.
With the whole log cabin situation.
I wish
situation.
He would invite me over. I want to see this whole cooking situation he has going on. Mm. And also with Chardonnay. I mean, if you were going to do a pork dish, maybe with mushrooms, like wild mushrooms, maybe chanterelles, or
could you put
a little lardon with it and things like that? Would that be good with the Chardonnay?
The smokiness in the bacon would make sense. I mean... Mm-hmm. I guess when I'm thinking of that, I mean, a mustard sauce is the first thing that comes to mind. Some kind of Dijon mustard sauce.
Okay.
You know, just a
like
rack of pork or
stock reduction finish with whole grain mustard.
Or even just a braised pork shoulder that you pulled with, like you said, the fingerling potatoes and maybe some mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be buttons.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
know?
Sure.
Because if you develop the flavor with them, they can be terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's another email.
Another email. All right. This is Oren in Baltimore. Okay, so I'm no chef, but I make a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich like nobody's business.
Yes.
I don't know if you can call it a recipe, but I took the approach from a little deli in Great Capon, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. My father and I go fishing for a smallmouth bass up there on the Potomac.
Wonderful.
And Doris's Deli is right on the road. Good job getting the shout out into Doris's Deli.
I like it.
Is right on the road to the railroad tracks where we access the river.
Awesome.
After a night of responsible beer consumption up on the mountain the night before, Doris's bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich goes down real easy. Doris herself is there every morning serving up coffee and sandwiches. The sandwich is what you'd imagine. Good bacon, American cheese, and a fried egg on white bread. Here's a secret that Chef Wolf would approve of. Butter.
Oh, yes.
I don't think it's a secret, Oren. The buttered toasted
awesome.
Bread makes this whole simple symphony sing in harmony.
That's fun. That whole situation is just awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I just like that. That's what I get with the subject line, best dish. That should just be essay to happiness right there.
I admit that I make a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich as well.
Do you?
And I enjoy very, very much. Often in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. I'm kind of an egg
When did
person.
You start eating sandwiches?
See, Tony,
That's
I do
crazy.
Eat sandwiches. Ah.
We have like a 25-year conflict about sandwiches and the ability of sandwiches.
I only eat breakfast sandwiches.
You wouldn't, like, nothing else?
No. Well, I like your bruschettas. See, I don't think of that as a sandwich.
Well, no, it's...
I love bruschetta.
If you're not picking it up with one hand, so it's a little bit like, you know, sandwiches and sushi are kind of the same thing. There's something you eat that makes you happy, but you can still use your other hand to do stuff.
Yes, there you go. See, that's the key.
Like the origin of sushi, to play cards, you know?
What?
Yeah, so those guys could gamble.
What?
You could just pick those things up with a... set of chopsticks and you can keep playing cards with
the
other
hand.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Okay.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
So what about favorite rainy day food? I think that's also a good thing to talk about is what do you want to eat
soup
today?
Is what people always think, but I mean, chili is kind of what...
Oh.
Because chili is not hard to make.
Oh, how do you make chili?
I mean, the first most important thing, the meat is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The onions are a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
How fresh is the garlic? You know, like, does the garlic still have any moisture? Or when you cut it, does it leave no juice on the board? You do not want that garlic. It's got no flavor. It's just heat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sweating the onions and the garlic in such a way that you get a good coating in the pan that when the meat goes in there, whether it's beef or pork or venison or bison. I had bison chili recently. Oh my gosh,
yeah,
it was good.
That's fun.
I mean, really lean, really tasty. You can always... You can cheat on that one. You can render a little bit of bacon along with your onions and garlic that you sweat, and get a little bit of that pork fat in there with the bison because the bison's so lean.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's that and beans and how you choose to season it.
Well, and you know that's a good use for wild venison too. I know a lot of people around here hunt, and you know that I bet
well,
that
you can
would
make
be delicious.
Batches and freeze it too. I mean,
yeah, that's a good use for a lot of that product that's not primal cuts that needs to be ground.
Well, and you can play games with the way that the way that you add heat.
Yeah, I'd add a little fat to that, but I think with venison. It would be fun to have a little bit of rosemary in there. Maybe go a little bit different. You know,
I tend to make it pretty lean and pretty spicy because then I want things on top of it where the fat comes in. I want sour cream. I want guacamole. Literally, put the guacamole, make that bison chili spicy, like with black beans and plenty of onion, plenty of garlic, and use, you know, good hot peppers. Not, I don't want it hurt, but if my scalp doesn't sweat a little bit, I'm really not. Not eating chili.
So
right?
I would go a different way. I would put bacon in with my venison when I was doing it. I would go a totally different way. I would go bacon, rosemary, and lots of black pepper, and onions, and all that good business. Maybe a little tomato product.
I grew up on cornbread with chili, and I like that. And there are a million variations, and it's you're literally doing one cast iron skillet for one thing. And one big skillet for the other thing.
There you go.
And you're done.
Mm-hmm. That's a good Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a... That
sounds like
a good
rainy day.
Well, there...
Football.
Now you can watch 3 football games on Sunday, so... And if you're a maniac and you watch the Premier League soccer, you can watch 2 soccer games, 3 football games, and find the commercial breaks and half times are perfect times to prepare.
Okay.
Not that I've ever done this.
But, okay, all right.
Let's get Nate in Baltimore on the line.
Hi,
Nate.
Nate.
How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Love your show and called in a couple of times. Well, last year I called in about the beef bourguignon, which my friends tell me is the best thing I make.
Ooh,
but today
good.
I thought I'd call and tell you what I just made and just ate while I was listening to you guys. My friends.
Someone eating during the program is the very best thing that can happen.
My friend gave me some couscous. She made too much last week and had apricots and butternut squash and just really some cool, unusual flavors. And then this week, I roasted some chicken breasts with citrus and made this great stock with ginger and garlic and lemon and just really cooked it and cooked it and cooked it.
Was that a chicken stock?
It was. I made the stock from the leftover bones from the breasts.
And, yeah, sometimes that's a chicken stock we will make at home as well. It's very satisfying, especially if you like broth in the morning.
Yeah. And so just now, like within the last hour, I combined the two, and it just came out great. It was one of those experiments that it was great to be eating it on today, you know, mm-hmm. or today, because
yeah. it's
definitely. Chilling outside and so forth. So that's why I was calling to contribute
that. That's great.
That.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your show.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. I love couscous.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
That variation on chicken broth
mm-hmm.
with the ginger, plenty of garlic, it's literally you can put a coffee mug of that stuff in front of me and just throw a whole bunch of cilantro in there fresh.
Oh
my gosh, that can be good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That can be good. For some reason, that in the morning I like that very aromatic variation.
And speaking of chicken stock, we're making polenta soup right now, and... Good. We actually do both chicken broth and game bird broth to make the polenta soup. And right near the end, you know, say for a gallon of stock, 1 cup of polenta, really good quality polenta. We get ours from Anson's Mill in Charleston and put in a couple of jalapeno peppers while it cooks, or one, however much spice you like, and salt and pepper. And once it's done, just finish it, as you said, with cilantro and fresh lime juice. Mm, yum. I love it.
Corn and cilantro is always a good combo. That sounds good to me. You can, if you're eating, please finish what you're eating and give us a call. Let us know the best thing that you cook, or like Nate, your very lovely breakfast, 410-662-8780, or email us foremanwolf@wipr.org. We'll be back in a few moments with more Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine on WIPR.
Listening to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine here on your public radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. We're asking for what the best dish is that you make. Tell us all about it, 410-662-8780, or email us foremanwolf@wipr.org. Or also, I mean, Cindy had asked, what do you want to cook on a rainy, dreary,
yeah.
you know, pack it in, give up Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. You're inside, so what's it going to be? I know. How about sauerkraut? I'm almost ready for that. I can't wait for sauerkraut. That sounds
the only
good.
Problem
That's a good, long, slow cooking dish.
It is. The only problem is you have to have really good ventilation in your
kitchen.
Well,
it doesn't smell very nice.
Or your whole house smells like sauerkraut.
Yeah, but at least you can open your window. I mean, it's not 8,000 degrees outside. So, so hey, Tony, back to that chili. What are we going to drink with it before we get to this caller?
Ooh, I mean, Red Zinfandel can be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
There is a mention of a producer... It's been a while since a lot of really good Shiraz has come into the market, really since the early to mid-2000s. Dave Powell of Torbrick Winery fame, who is a very talented guy and a very talented troublemaker. I'm sure I spent only a small amount of personal time with him once upon a time. He makes excellent stuff with Grenache, Shiraz, and Mourvèd.
Mm-hmm.
He has a GSM... bottling that's just coming to the market, 2016 vintage. It's something to look for, fairly priced,
cool,
delicious, flexible, about the size and weight of a lot of Chardonnay de Pape.
Cool.
Let's go to Rocky
in
Greensboro.
Are you really
hey,
from
Greensboro? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
You're calling from Greensboro, North Carolina?
No, Maryland.
Oh.
Eastern Shore.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
So, yeah, I just had, it's not the best thing I make, I guess. I've actually only made it a handful of times, but... Just sometimes simple is satisfying. Just a nice tuna melt on a rainy day.
Yeah, buddy.
I was also kind of wondering how to elevate that, I guess, to make it more regional. Using maybe jumbo lump crab, like back fin. Traditionally, I mean, what I did today, I guess, is toasted the English muffin, nice and toasted, smear of mayonnaise, nice tuna salad on top, relish and celery seed heavy with a lot of mayo.
Okay.
And just cheddar cheese and a thin slice of tomato on top, broiled. Still kind of lukewarm in the middle. And I didn't know how, maybe how to translate that to treat it more delicately, like I said, for that back then.
I don't know that, I mean, one, I love tuna salad.
Tony's a tuna salad.
Unreasonably. And
crazy
I, and
lover
I
person.
I eat tuna salad every Saturday afternoon mm-hmm. since I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tuna melts are a
economical.
Great treat.
Yes.
A great treat. The only way to me to elevate that is not to don't skimp on the mayo. Use good mayo when you make your tuna salad. Mm-hmm. One.
Sure.
The bread that you use, it doesn't have to be an English muffin.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
you know,
sure.
It could be anything. To me, the kind of the crunchier the better. You know, because that's a knife and fork kind of a sandwich.
Yeah, and, of
and
course.
The
and
cheese,
you want that contrast
like
and texture
that,
as well.
The stronger the cheddar, the more intense that is that's on there.
Oh, Tony's waxing poetic.
Oh, man.
Tuna melt.
That
hey,
makes one
me,
marvelous
can
smelly
Can I answer
sandwich.
Your question? Crab meat. It's almost exactly like I just said the celeriac remoulade, if you heard me. It's mayonnaise, whole grain mustard,
okay.
A little bit of lemon juice, a tiny bit of Tabasco. You probably won't need any salt. But if you mix the crab and just a tiny little bit of breadcrumb or not, I mean, you don't want it totally falling apart. You could probably avoid the breadcrumbs since you're serving it on bread. But then do a slice of tomato, but make sure you salt and pepper that tomato and put just a tiny bit of extra virgin olive oil on top of that tomato.
Ah,
uh-huh.
Okay,
and then
I think that's what I missed.
There
that's
you go.
What I missed on the tuna melt. I did this
I
on the
love
pepper,
tomato.
But I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I missed that kind of drying out at the top.
Exactly. So do that. Huh. That'll be good.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Rocky.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rocky.
Have a good Sunday.
Yeah, have a good Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep, you too.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tony in Annapolis. How are you?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for your show. I love tuning in.
Thanks.
One of my favorite dishes to cook on a really big rain day or even a snow day would be a bœuf bourguignon. Mm-hmm. And I tend to follow a pretty classic recipe that's out there.
Good.
But one of the things that I do is I tend to cook with the wine that I serve with. And I'm wondering if there's a better way to do that.
That's very reasonable. I mean, I think if...
That, I do that a lot.
That honestly depends upon how much you like you and how much wine you use. because if you're using like a 2017 Marsannay, that's totally reasonably priced and delicious and appropriate to have with that dish. But you also might be going to your cellar, if you keep cellar, or go to the wine shop and buy a jazzier bottle, and maybe it's a 2015 Volnay Premier Cru, or maybe you want a Gervais Chambertin, or it's something that's a little more serious, intense, complex, and that's going to be a little more dear.
Don't cook with that.
I mean, you certainly can cook
you can,
with that.
But I wouldn't. I mean,
but yeah, it's a little bit of a shame.
Yeah, it's lost in there. So, you know, there's a type of wine, La Vieille Ferme, is what we cook with in the kitchen. And it's a very
solid Grenache-based red from the Rhone Valley that has good acid balance.
So
and,
just have a twist-off cap. I mean, it's good wine, and just have some around and, you know, or get a bottle. It's not that expensive when you're going to make the bourguignon.
Keep the red in your fridge
once
you have it open.
All right, cool.
And
so
that
will
keep it better.
And that way you're not sacrificing something that's really great. But I will tell you, if I'm not drinking something really great, I will often cook with it just because I don't have bottles of wine in my house sitting around that I can cook with, right?
Oh,
I mean, you know,
God's
at
sake.
Work, I always have, well, I'm just saying I don't have something that's less expensive. So, yeah, I mean, at work, we have the La Vieille Ferme, and so that's perfect. And I've been cooking with that for years, so that would be my suggestion. Thanks, Tony.
I will give that a go.
Okay.
Well, what have you been using, by the way?
I actually use whatever tends to be reasonably priced on sale at the local market that I get. Usually it's about between $17 and $22 a bottle.
Yeah,
good.
You know,
that's
good. It's okay. It's not great, but I'm looking to make it better. Also, with a cut of meat, mm-hmm. I tend to get it from the butcher as a big block of meat, and then I make really big cubes with it.
Do
you recommend larger cubes? It looks like a heartier stew, but I somehow seem to think that it tastes better.
Yeah, I agree. I like larger, not huge pieces, but definitely a larger piece because it's going to break down. And so you want to be left with something. You don't want to have shredded meat. And, you know, that's not what bourguignon is. So, yeah, big pieces of, are you getting shoulder or what?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Perfect. Good job.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Thank
Tony.
You. Enjoy.
Have
Thanks,
a great
Tony.
Day.
You too.
Let's go to Ronnie in Waverly.
Hey,
Ronnie, how are you?
Hi. How are you, folks?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Say, so we went to the my wife Sharon and I went to the Waverly Market yesterday.
Good.
And we found fresh red beans.
Mm.
Now, we'd never seen fresh, you know, beans like that right from the farm, and we decided to make red beans and rice.
Oh, good for you.
Great.
So we went to another stand and got andouille sausage. But when we went to go cook it, we found a recipe on All Recipes. It turned out great. But the challenge was going to Chef Google for help. We couldn't figure out what to call fresh beans to see how they needed to be handled.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, fresh beans, I mean, you just want to clean them. For one thing, you know, did you have to shell them or were they already shelled?
They were already shelled.
So what you would want to do is just make sure, rinse them in cold water, make sure that there isn't any debris in there, any dirt or greens or whatever. Clean them. And then what I always do when I make fresh beans is I make my broth first. Because you want to develop all the flavor you possibly can, because your cook time on fresh beans is much shorter than a dried bean. And so if you develop all the flavor, say, you know, maybe you put bacon in there or smoked ham hocks along with that andouille sausage, a little bit of onion, shallot, maybe some mirepoix, carrot, celery, onion. Maybe you have Tabasco in there. You put a jalapeno in there. You put Cajun or Creole spice mix in there. All those things that should develop, but don't put salt in there. And just let all that develop. I'd cook it for 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour, and then drop the beans in. And your beans are going to be so good. And then just cook them until they're tender. With fresh beans or any dried bean, you want to cook them low and slow. Just be gentle with them so that the bean doesn't break up. And that sounds so good. I bet you really enjoyed that.
We did that. We made a batch yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to make another batch.
Oh, good.
So I will try your method
awesome.
Next time. And we're going to do it in the next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
That's great, Ronnie.
What we did was just browned all the vegetables, the peppers and onions and garlic, everything up front, and then put in the water and put in the beans. And then towards the end of it, and we cooked it in like a black iron pan, pot. And at the end of it, we just removed the lid and then cooked it down until it was really thick and all the liquid moisture was gone.
Yum. Good.
Turned out great.
Good.
Thanks, Ronnie. We've got a couple of calls to get to and some emails I'm going to try to get to. So if we can keep it brief, ladies and gentlemen, that would be great. Lawrence, could you go ahead?
Hi, Lawrence.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good. And you?
Good.
Good.
So I want to share something with you guys. I'm listening to your show today, this afternoon.
Thank you.
So I want to share something with you guys because, I mean, in the Mexican tradition, it's a very popular to make tamales at this time. I mean, the whole year, but anyways.
Oh, yeah.
But at this time, these rainy days, we make tamales and champurrado. Champurrado is a Mexican drink with chocolate, milk, and many other spices. But
so it's a little bit like horchata, right?
Mm. Yeah, it's like horchata, but this is hot.
That's awesome.
And these days, I mean, we always make that. I mean, all the time is pretty good. And tamales arroz is the bomb.
I love tamales.
What kind of tamales?
Well, it's many different kinds of tamales. Like
your favorite?
My favorite is tamales de rajas. That's pretty good. That it's made with flour, cheese, and jalapenos, tomatoes. I mean, it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Onions. I mean, that one's pretty good.
That's awesome. Thanks, Lawrence.
Yes, thank you so much.
Have a good Sunday.
Thank you for listening.
You too, guys.
I love tamales so much.
Yes.
Oh, I could live off of them.
Let's talk to Kenny in Glen Burnie. Kenny, how are you?
Hi, Kenny.
Good. Yourself, sir?
Good. Thanks for holding on the line.
Absolutely. So because of the rainy weather, Right now I'm doing cheese grits with like extra sharp cheddar, but I'm originally from New Mexico, so when I fly home, I bring back fire-roasted green chili.
Yes.
And I've been topping it with that.
You just stir that right into
That's
the grits?
Awesome.
No, I don't. I found if I stir the chili in, it's a little bit too watered down, I guess. It thins it out, so it's better to just kind of scoop it off the top.
There you go.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, a man after
Thanks,
my
Kenny.
Own heart. Cheese grits.
Absolutely.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Cheese grits with green chili. You can't beat it.
I agree.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Read a couple of quick emails here.
Okay.
This is from Nathan. For braised dishes that require onions, I like to roast boiling-sized onions, which when cooled and peeled yields a good bite, a bit larger than pearl onions and way more flavorful than frozen. And then from Joanna, favorite dish. My fiancé and I love the forage, especially mushrooms. We are novice gardeners in our sixth year and definitely still learning. When it comes to favorite dishes, connection with ingredients is key. Mm-hmm. Whether you know the farmer by name or found it, grew it, or processed yourself, it adds an extra layer to the story of the food presentation and conversation around the table.
Oh, my gosh. That's so
that is
true.
Willis and Waverly.
Oh, Willis.
Also love to make soup on a cold, rainy day. I just made a slightly spicy lentil and sweet potato soup.
Oh.
I start with mirepoix, loads of garlic and ginger, all the curry spices you want. Add the sweet potatoes and lentils, cover with stock, and simmer till everything is tender. I add a chiffonade of kale, just because you're you, Willis, just at the end. It's so hearty.
Good for
you.
You
won't miss the meat.
That's great. Lentils.
And then
another one of my favorite things.
And then Susan in Baltimore writes, I have a lamb and lentil soup in the crock pot.
Ah.
Great to smell and yummy to eat.
Yeah, I've never cooked that way. My sister does, you know, having raised a family, did a lot of crock pot. I can't even say that, cooking. And I mean, it's when she makes it, like when we're there for Thanksgiving, you know, maybe, you know, I usually end up after, obviously, after Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's just such a great way to cook. It's so easy. And she makes some really great food in there. So I can see cooking that way for a family.
My dad is always talking about cooking in a crock pot.
That's interesting.
I just throw this stuff in there.
And it's like magic.
And I set my timer and I show up and I eat it. It's like a lovey pop.
Pop. That's awesome. Hi, Pop.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you for your calls and your emails. If you want to listen to this program or any other one, check out our podcast on the WYPR website, wypr.org. Look for the Foreman Wolf page, and then you'll see a full menu of programs there. If you want to email us, you can continue to, even when the program's over, foremanwolf@wypr.org. You can follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram as Chef Wolf, on Twitter as Chef Cindy Wolf, and on Facebook as Cindy Wolf.
You're so multiple.
I'm
just the real Tony Foreman on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening.
And happy Sunday.
And stay dry.
You've been listening to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine here on your public radio, 88.1 WYPR, made possible by the Maryland Department of Agriculture's Maryland's Best Program.